Again, just a lot of prayer requests. I do want to mention those. We have a full sheet on our website. If you want to click on the home tab, and the tree will fall down there. And the second to last will be our bulletin. And you'll have everyone's name there. Also, remember homecoming, September 13th, Sunday morning. Brother Schneider will be with us in service. No food. In-house singing on that day. Brother Allen's working on that. We will have our service then, but then later on we'll have a bigger celebration when things die down with this corona. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight, and let's just see what the Lord has for us this evening. This morning we heard about Joshua's obedience and how God blesses that. Even when we're in uncharted waters, even when we encounter trouble and conflict, if we just stick it out with God, He will definitely bless our going in and going out. Let's pray tonight for a wonderful service and these folks. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, the name that's above every name tonight, we lift up these prayer requests. God, there's so many. We do not have the time to really lock into prayer like we want to of each individual. But Father, we lift up these requests to you tonight. Everyone, Lord, pray for Brother Jim Daly as he goes. Brother Leonard, this coming up week, Father, we pray for Terry and Brother Allen, days ahead that they're facing, but also Captain, Lord, we pray for Barbara Anderson, we pray for the Watkins. Oh, Lord, we just remember all of these on our prayer list. Every situation is important. Every life matters. Lord, I pray that you would be with every person, every life. And Lord, as we move forward, as we desire to move forward as a church, I pray for wisdom concerning our services and possibly adding to, Lord, we want to do exactly what you want us to do and still maintain our safety and protection. Lord, we love you tonight and thank you for who you are and for what you do. You have been good to us not only after salvation but before salvation. As it was said this morning from Brother Robert, that Lord, your guiding, protecting hand was on us even before we came to know you. Father, we're thankful for your grace and mercy. Be with us tonight in a mighty way. Bless the people of Calvary and the friends and family members of those that belong to Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Tonight we're going to be in the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 4 for a few moments tonight. And I want to mention something that is needful to share from time to time, especially in the Christian community, the church world, the local church. It's always good from time to time to mention what we're going to mention tonight. So I hope it'll be a blessing and it'll be a help to you. And we're showing that it's 10 after the hour, and I'm not really sure if I'm going to preach 50 minutes or not, but however long I preach and teach tonight, it's going to be exactly what the Lord wants me to preach, and then I'll be through. Colossians chapter number 4 tonight, and before we read our text verse being verse number 6, I want to give a little background information about Colossians 4. We know that this epistle was written by Paul. It was written to those at Colossae, Christian believers at Colossae. And in chapter number 4, we have instructions to the Christians at Colossae. I want you to notice tonight in verse number 5, that verse number 5 deals with the Christian's we see that verse number 5 deals with the Christian's walk. It's the conduct. It's the walk of the believer. And our conduct in our walk, it should be a wise walk, one with prudence. We ought to walk what we talk this evening. He tells us to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Deals with Christian conduct and our Christian walk. And we know that we are to walk this way or this manner with being wise, being prudent, because or so that there will be no occasion or reproach upon the name of the Lord. And ultimately, that would deter those that need to be saved. And so our walk is important tonight. And Paul is dealing with some closing words, and he says in verse number 5, to walk the talk, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. He says that it's in verse 5 that there's a certain walk we ought to have. And we certainly, those of us that are saved, we certainly have a way of talking it. But there comes a time where we have to walk it. Walking the talk in verse number 5. Ephesians 5 and verse number 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And so what that means is that even our words, our talk, that we say we know Jesus, sometimes if we're not careful, they can be vain words if we don't walk it out. And so we definitely tonight have an obligation to Jesus to walk the talk. Again, verse number 5, walk in wisdom. Walk in good sense, is what he's saying. Toward them, or in regard to those that are without, redeeming the time. And so that's what Paul's getting at so far. He's saying that we need to walk the talk toward them that are without, outside the Christian community. The lost and dying world, we are to walk in good sense. So we're to walk the talk. But notice verse number 6, and verse number 6 is where I want to be tonight, because he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, this verse is telling us the opposite of verse number 5. This verse here is telling us not to walk the talk. That was in verse number 5. But this verse is telling us to talk the walk. Talk the walk. You see, in the Christian life, there has to be a balance. In order to have Christian influence and to be influential, some of the things Brother Brown was speaking of this morning, to live a life for Jesus that's epic, we have to have a balance. Not only live a life where we're walking it, but also living a life where we're talking it. In verse number 5, he says we ought to walk the talk. And then in verse number 6, he says we ought to talk the walk. So tonight, as we look into verse number 6, that's exactly what I want to preach about for a few moments, is talk the walk. There has to be a balance, you see. Our walk is important before man. Also, our talk is important before man. We must back up with our words what we believe in our walk, but we also must back up our walk with our talk. And so Paul is emphasizing our speech here. He says it takes both to be influential. He says it takes both to touch lives. It takes both to help people in life, not only walking out what you believe in front of them, doing good deeds and helping people, reading your Bible, coming to church regular, things along those lines. But there also has to follow a talk to that. We have to have a certain speech that backs up our walk. A lot of people focus on walking the talk, saying what you believe and backing it up by the way you walk. Well, there's another side tonight that we must emphasize, and that is talking what we walk. So tonight I want to mention some things out of this verse, verse number 6. You know, you have no positive influence at all with one without the other. It does take a walk that backs up the talk, and it also takes the talk that backs up the walk. Talk the walk tonight. Someone said one time that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's wrong tonight. That's a wrong saying. You can actually heal faster from a physical wound than you can a verbal wound. Someone can have a small cut on their body, and in a couple of weeks, the cut can be healed up and over with, and you may forget about it, especially if there's no scar behind. But sometimes when there's verbal words, sometimes when our talk isn't where it should be, it has a tendency of cutting. Sometimes it can cut deep, and sometimes it can take days and weeks and maybe even years to heal from a verbal wound. Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And what that's saying is, it's saying there will be fruit that follows your words, either good or bad. There's going to be fruit from it. It will either create death in someone's spirit or their spirit or emotions, or it will create life in their spirit and their emotions. Has anybody ever said anything negative or derogatory towards you? And how did you feel? You felt bad. Now, has anybody said anything good to you? A compliment, just a comment. How do you feel? You felt good, lively. So that's the truth tonight from Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, whether good or bad. There will be consequences for what we say. I want to give you an illustration tonight before we get to the actual sermon. An illustration when it comes to our words, and I want to give you an illustration having to do with toothpaste. You know, tonight, if you take a tube of toothpaste, I wish I had a tube about that long so I could show you what I'm talking about. If you have a tube of toothpaste and squeeze it till it starts to run out, and then you try to bring the toothpaste back in, it's nearly an impossible task. It gets real messy. You're squeezing that toothpaste carelessly and it's coming out. It's actually a good experiment to try. Try to bring all that toothpaste back in the tube. It's messy. You can't do that. Our words tonight represent what's inside the toothpaste tube. When we use toothpaste the right way, it will keep our teeth strong, white, and healthy. But if we use the toothpaste without care, it can make a mess of everything it comes in contact with. You ever tried to wipe toothpaste off with a rag or even water? It takes a while to get it off. Toothpaste that's used the wrong way without care, it can create a mess of everything it comes in contact with. My word tonight is this: choose to speak words of life, not death. If we're walking the talk, let us also talk the walk. Three things tonight from this verse. we're to have gracious talk. Look at verse number 6. He said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so, number one, he tells us in this verse that our talk ought to be gracious talk. Look again, he says, let your speech be always with grace. A Christian ought to have a talk that is gracious. The word grace here, it means graciousness. It means with grace. It means graciousness. The words that leave our lips should be gracious words. We should be the kind of person that when we talk to people, it ought to be covered with such grace from God. It ought to be so gracious that they'll be willing to come back and talk to us on other occasions. But you see, sometimes people don't have a talk of grace. A lot of times folks don't have gracious words. And because of this, a person is not likely to approach them again. You see, we must have gracious words tonight. We must have gracious talk. He says, let your speech be always with grace. We ought to be people of grace. We ought to be gracious in our speech. Our speech should show that we are governed by God, under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. The words that leave our lips should testify that we know God. Let us all tonight have beautiful words, wonderful words, as the hymn says, wonderful words of life. Not damaging words, not malicious words. Don't let us possess a quick and snappy temperament in life. Let us be people who talk the walk, not just say that we go to church, not just say that we witness to others, not just say that we hold the door open for people or we carry somebody's groceries to their car, not just say that we're walking with Jesus, but let us back up our walk with a gracious talk tonight. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 5 says this, and this verse is the verse that I used at Miss Betty Berry's homegoing because it reminded me of her. It says in Philippians 4, 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness, let your graciousness be made known to all men, the Lord's at hand. And you see, that's what I seen in Miss Betty. She was a gentle woman in my estimation. She was a modest woman in my estimation. I mean, her spirit of modesty. The words she chose to use to me, and I can remember at her bedside in the hospital as she was contending with things and not feeling well, she would have gracious words. Brother Justin, I can't wait to get back to church. I love to hear you preach. Well, that's coming from someone who has a modest spirit, who is gracious and hospitable, someone who knows the power that words have, someone that knows how to use words. We ought to be people tonight who have gracious talk. We ought not to be talking malicious or damaging to someone or their name behind their back, but yet we ought to esteem one another better than ourselves. Romans 12, verse number 16 says this, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And so Romans, Paul, he even says here that we are to condescend. We are to stay in a lowly place in our life. A place of humility. A place of graciousness. A place where we're moderate in go to someone else and tell them something, and then that person go right to that person by which that person communicated something to, and then go to them and say, you know what so-and-so said about you? I never have understood why someone would come and tell me how bad someone thinks of me. I never have understood that. Listen, if someone comes to you and says something to you about someone else, you are now held accountable of what you're going to do with the words that you just heard. Will I be a bridge builder or will I be a road blocker? Will I be someone who helps dissolve the situation? Will I be a mediator in this situation? Or will I turn and go to that person and say, you just won't believe what that person said to you? I want to say, church, I'm talking to all of us. Let us not be guilty of evil communications. Let us be that person that turns back to that person and says, you know what? I just don't see that in them. You may say that, but I don't see that in them. And until I'm proven wrong, and if I'm proven wrong, I will go to them. I won't go through a third person, you see. And tonight, this is healthy for the church. Listen, Paul places in his epistles many times that the church needs a purging, that the church needs preaching along with edification and teaching. The church at times, if we're not careful, there can be evil communications. Tonight, what I'm saying is that we need to be people who are mild. We need to be people who are courteous and hospitable. We need to be people who possess the characteristics of Jesus. And whenever we're talking to someone, always, the Bible says, let our speech be with grace. Let us be gracious. Let us really think about what we hear that comes into our ears before we communicate that to anybody. Let us really think what that might do to a person. This is nobody here, but this is another situation that extended family, I guess I should say, somewhere out there. Someone said, you won't believe what someone said about me. They told me how wrong I was in this situation and how, or what someone said that I was in this situation. And they heard this one said that I'm no good and low down. And I said, well, what did you do? They said, I just sat there and cried because I'm not that way. And I was wondering, what in the world was this one person thinking when they said, oh, by the way, cousin so-and-so said you're a no-good deadbeat? Why would you say that to anybody? Why? Listen, tonight we ought to be people who have a filter. We ought to be a people who, whenever something passes along, comes down the line, blows our way, we ought to take it and we ought to filter through it and we ought to line it up with God's Word and say, listen, I'm not going to be a destroyer of the faith. I'm not going to be someone who cripples someone spiritually. But I want to be someone who is gracious. I want to be someone who is a bridge builder, not a roadblocker. Tonight, our words, they need to be graceful words. Words that are hospitable and words that are uplifting. Let us not possess a quick and snappy temperament. Gracious talk tonight. Not only that, but I want to go a step further. There's to be gracious talk if we're going to talk the walk, but it ought to be grown talk. Grown talk. Notice what he says. He says, let your speech be always with grace. That means we ought to have a gracious talk. But then he says, season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. We ought to have grown talk. Talk that is seasoned. ought to have grown talk, seasoned with salt, he said. Notice this. Salt preserves. Without it, there would be corruption. The element of salt within itself is a preservant. It preserves meat. It's a preservant. The absence of salt, there would be corruption. We ought to know how much salt to apply to any given conversation. Oh, rest assured, there needs to be salt and season upon every conversation, upon our talk. We ought to know how much to add. We ought to know how much to refrain from adding. Not only does salt work as a preservant from corruption, but salt gives taste. Without it, food would be bland and undesirable. And so tonight, it's all about this grown talk, being seasoned with salt. It's all about giving a proper answer and knowing and being ready, having your talk seasoned, knowing what the Bible says to the best of your ability, and to know how, the Bible says, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. When it comes to certain foods, we know how much salt to add, don't we? And we know how much to refrain from adding. The same idea is wrapped up in this verse. We ought to be people whose speech is gracious, meaning our talk should be gracious. We should be hospitable and approachable. We should be mild and courteous. But also, we ought to know how to answer. We ought to know how much season to give. Too much seasoning will ruin a meal, you know that. But not enough will ruin a meal. Ruin a meal. Ruin. Redneck word. And so we have to know how much. We have to have grown talk. We have to be, we have to invest time in God's word and in prayer and we really need to think about what we say. Our talk has to be seasoned talk. Not only our speech should be gracious and kind, but also grown, meaning salty speech, right speech. Again, notice if you would that second part of our verse. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Grown talk, seasoned talk. So we see that here in verse number 6. We see gracious talk. But let me mention this. We ought to have going talk. Going talk. He says in verse number 6, let your speech be always with grace. Season with salt that you may know how you ought to enter every man. I say this going talk because he says, let your speech be always. Meaning at all times, we are to be people who are gracious with our words, who give the benefit of the doubt, not being passive toward things, but being gracious, being hospitable people. And we're not being passive and being enablers where we should dive in and say thus or such, but we're being gracious. We're giving the benefit of the doubt. We're being hospitable. And then we're to have grown talk seasoned with salt. That means that we're diving in the conversation and we're trying to determine how we ought to answer this person. Seasoned with salt. Not too much, not too little, just right. That means that we have to invest whether it's in your favor or not in your favor, we are to maintain graceful and grown speech tonight. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Tonight, it's good to refresh. It's good to expose the truth about our tongues. In James, he actually, in the book of James, gets into this much more than we have here. He talks about the tongue being a little member of the body, yet it can be an instrument set on fire from hell, the Bible says. And so let us know how to control ourselves in our speech. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Verse 5 tells us to walk the talk. But verse number 6 tells us to talk the walk. Remember, our words are like toothpaste inside the toothpaste tube. It's hard for our words to be taken back. It's hard to, once you say something, to reel it back in. Has anybody ever said something to you and said, "I'm just kidding"? "Oh, I'm just joking"? Listen, even saying that evidently has some kind of motive behind it. Let us be careful to even say something with a tag on it, "I'm just kidding. I'm just joking." Because somewhere in that statement, the person is left with realizing or trying to understand, is there a truth in what they just said? "I'm just joking." Somebody said one time, words, when we say words, it's like getting a pillow and cutting a hole in it, tearing a hole, a rip, an open spot, and then holding it out to the wind. And the wind blows all those old-time pillows, feather pillows, blows all them feathers, blows all the cotton and whatnot down the road. And then you try to go and gather it all up. You can't do that. It's impossible. Sometimes physical wounds heal quicker than verbal wounds. It's impossible to gather all of the feathers and all the cotton back up into the pillow once it is yielded to the wind. It's impossible to reel in or retreat back in all of the toothpaste into the tube without getting messy. Church, the message tonight is, let us talk the walk. Let us have gracious talk. Let us have grown talk. But let us have going talk. Not just when it benefits us, but even when the situation is not in our favor, let us respond with graciousness, seasoned with salt. What we're trying to say: talk the walk. Heavenly Father, we love you this evening. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. And Lord, we felt compelled to share what we've shared tonight, and how often we need to be reminded how helpful it is, dear Lord, to hear such preaching at times. But Father, tonight I pray that you would minister to all of our hearts. Let us be gracious talkers, grown talkers, and going talkers. Let us, Lord, tonight talk what we walk. The Bible said, let what we do be done through truth and deed. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. Minister to hearts during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name. We'll give a few moments for our virtual invitation. And if you need to pray, now is the time.
watching tonight.